I want to place my entire reflection on what I'm calling the obedience of Jesus. Huh? We don't hear this word obedience too much because it's almost like you're subservient when you're obedient to somebody. But then the scripture just takes this obedience of Jesus and just holds it up for us to reflect upon, not just with regard to Jesus, but to our own lives. The obedience of Jesus. This passion reading that we just read is from Mark. Each year we read from a different gospel, and we read this year from Mark. And Mark is the very first gospel to be written. So everybody who then wrote their gospel in some way relied on Mark. And Mark gives us one of the most quoted scriptures that we have today, the words of Jesus, where Jesus says, "Not my will, but your will be done." I'm sure at some point in your life, you may have applied it to yourself. The obedience of Jesus. The entire quote that we have from Mark is, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup away from me, but not what I will, but what you will." And it seems to me that the obedience of Jesus was reflected upon greatly in the early church. So you have Paul in today's second reading, and hear this quote. The word obedient is specifically used there. Paul says, "He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found in human appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death." It's not that I have a practical implication for you over here. I'm merely saying, think about the obedience of the Son of God. If you are a young person, if you are a child, or if you're a parent, how hard is obedience? It's very hard. But Jesus was obedient to his Father. Now, obedience in the scriptures has implications. Last week, I was in LA for a religious education conference, and I was invited to talk about the sacrament of reconciliation. And the approach that I took was that sin is not just a personal thing that we commit. In other words, even my most private sin is not a private act, but that sin actually affects a whole lot of relationships, even the most private sin. It affects our relationship with God, with others, with self, and with nature. And that's my main point, that the sacrament of reconciliation then restores these four relationships. That's beside the point. But the example that I raise is of our first parents. Had they known the implications of their disobedience, do you think they would have gone ahead with what they did? They never realized that their private sin, which is eating the fruit that God told them not to eat, that eating that fruit had a wide implication. Their disobedience affected all of humanity. That's what I mean, that sin affects our relationship with God and with others and with our own selves and with nature. It's called original sin, isn't it? Jesus was unlike our first parents. He was not disobedient. He was obedient. And the implication was in the opposite direction. While the first man and woman, their sin destroyed humanity, the obedience of Jesus restores humanity. And this is why I say that the church holds up the obedience of Jesus, so much so that they write a hymn about it. And the hymn is, what we just heard in today's second reading. That is not just a reading, that's a hymn that the people sang, that Jesus emptied himself, making himself obedient to the point of death. So what? Therefore, God has exalted him and raised him up, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend and confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Beautiful. But it all stems to the obedience of Jesus. So, here's the practical implication then. Folks, what does this mean for us? So we're entering into Holy Week, right? And there are plenty of things to take us away from the intensity of this week. Some of you may have planned your spring break around this time. March Madness is going on. Life is busy. Stuff happens. In the midst of it, how is it that we can keep Holy Week holy? As I said in this week, one of my reflections, let's put the holy back into Holy Week. I think the key is to reflect on the obedience of Jesus and on our own obedience. What does obedience mean? Obedience means that we conform as much as possible to the life and the message of Jesus Christ, his passion, his suffering, and his death. That is obedience. We have a pattern in this man. We have a pattern for life. And the more we conform our life to the pattern that he lays, that is obedience. Not my will be done, dear God, but yours be done. So, for example, Jesus' life tells us that God's love is unconditional, and that love always wins. For me to pattern my life around that unconditional love, that is obedience. Jesus' life tells us that we must love others unconditionally. The life of Jesus tells us that violence is never the answer. The life of Jesus asks us to put our weapons down because it does no good. It says to us that forgiveness is the key to reconciliation. The life of Jesus tells us that self-sacrifice is not a sign of weakness. It tells us that God is always on the side of the suffering and of the poor. So to pattern our life around this gospel message, that is obedience. Now the second thing, the last thing we must realize is that just like the disobedience of the first man and woman had a wide implication on other people in the negative direction, and the obedience of Christ had its implication in the positive direction, that your obedience and mine to Christ or disobedience has a wide implication. So think about in the family. If one person in the family is disobedient to what Christ is asking us to be, that family suffers. Your workplace suffers. The church suffers. So this week, approach this entire week with fear and trembling and a sense of awe. Look at what Christ has done for us. His obedience is our salvation. And our obedience can be the salvation for other people and ourselves, or our disobedience can be the destruction of other people and of ourselves. I said in the introduction, folks, that we Catholics are not just people who remember, we are the ones who enact what Jesus did, his obedience. So, may I please ask you to take the bulletin home with you and be very aware of what the celebrations are of the liturgy this week, because we just don't want to sit back and watch this stuff happen. We want to be part of it. So, I mean, the church is so full today. I hope I see this also on Holy Thursday. Please, let's be part of the time when Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Let's wash feet with him. Good Friday, just wanted to know there's only one service in the afternoon, that's at 1 o'clock. We do not have the 7 o'clock evening service this year. And so see if you can take a lunch break or something and be here at 1 o'clock. And let's stand at the foot of the cross. Don't just remember, let's enact it. Then of course Easter, we'll stand at the entrance to the tomb, celebrating the resurrection of Christ. So, Holy Week, let us enter this Holy Week to touch, to participate, to enact the holiness, the obedience of Christ, which is our salvation. People of God said,